Well, as we make our way through the I Am sayings of Jesus and consider this theme, Jesus, who are you? Today we come to the saying, I am the Good Shepherd. And our scripture passage printed on our program is from John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 1 to 6, and then again 11 to 18. Truly, truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then picking up at verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Many of us are quite familiar with these various I am statements and claims of the Savior. It's been said that familiarity breeds contempt. But I don't think that is exactly the truth as it comes to a familiarity with these sayings. Instead, I think our hearing them many, many times flattens the radical nature of Jesus's claim and assertion. But this was not so for Jewish people of the first century. To the Jewish people in the first century, Jesus's I am statements came across as very nervy, very bold, to them outlandish claims. For they understood that no one could make these claims unless they were God. After all, that was the whole point to that sacred revelation of God to Moses, described in Exodus chapter 3, when the Lord appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and as God called Moses to lead his people, Moses asked the Lord, if I come to the people of Israel, and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am whom I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And Jesus understood this very point. And that's why he spoke using these I am statements equating and identifying him with the God of the Old Testament, the God of the covenant, the God who has done great and mighty things for his people. There are occasions in the Gospels in which Jesus' speech is put in the form of parables that outsiders who are not his followers would not be able to fully understand, comprehend, and follow what he is saying. But these I am statements are not of that ilk of language. They're clear. They're bold declarations of Jesus' true identity. And this is especially true of this I am statement, I am the good shepherd, that comes here in John chapter 10. For it follows on the heels of John chapter 9, where you remember Jesus healed a man who had been blind from birth. And the authorities went to the parents of this man asking if they knew who was it that healed and gave sight to this blind man. And they shirked the answer, shifting it to their son, go and ask him. And when the authorities find the man who was blind and they ask him, he says, all I know is that I was blind and now I see. And so the whole question of who is Jesus, what is his true identity, is at the heart of this passage and what John is writing in this section of his gospel. And after the question is raised in John chapter 9 about who is the identity, who is this one that healed this man who was blind from birth, we find in chapter 10 this statement of Jesus' authority, his claim to divinity, I am the good shepherd. And often these I am statements that are found, particularly in John's gospel, are followed by an increased resistance and opposition to the Savior. In this passage, it was after the verses immediately after what was read in verses 19 and 20 of John chapter 10 reads, there was division again among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Well, why listen to him? In these I am statements, we learn about who Jesus is, who is his identity. And I like to think of these I am statements as pieces of a mosaic that the various pieces come together and provide a portrait of an image, as it were, of the identity of the one who is in the mosaic. The different I am statements form as pieces that bring into clear focus the truth of who Jesus is and of his claims that he and the Father are one, that he is equal with the Father in power and in glory. But what is distinct about this particular I am statement? I am the good shepherd. What is unique? What is relevant? What color of the hues of color is there in this part of the prosaic of who Jesus is that's shown in this particular I am statement? I'd like for us for a few moments to consider what this particular I am statement, I am the good shepherd, what it teaches us about Jesus' person and his work, and then what it says about those who are his sheep. So for a few minutes, let's consider, what do we learn about who Jesus is, his identity? And I think as we come to this passage, we need to understand that shepherding is a major theme in the scriptures. There were many shepherds in the Bible. Abel, Abraham, Moses. There are so many. Laban, Rachel, I believe. Isaac, Rachel, I think I said. Moses, David. Amos, Aaron, Isaac are some of the shepherds that are listed in the Bible. But the image and metaphor of a shepherd is related to the truth of who God has revealed himself to be in the Bible. For he is the one who is the shepherd of his people. Jacob, the patriarch Jacob, when he was preparing to bless his son Joseph, said this of God: "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all of my life." The summary of his faith in the living and true God of the Bible, of the covenant-making God, is that that God is his shepherd. And the psalmist in Psalm 80 mentions, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock." The Bible is full of these references, these metaphor of God as a shepherd. And of course, the most well-known and famous one, that famous psalm, the 23rd psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." God himself declared that he was a shepherd to his people in the book of Ezekiel. "I myself will be their shepherd, and I myself will make them lie down," declares the Lord. But what are the kinds of things that shepherds do? I think we're pretty familiar with most of this. Shepherds lead and care for the sheep. They lead them to good pasture land. They keep them safe, even willing to risk perhaps their own lives at times for the sheep. And as we think about the God of the Scriptures, certainly it is appropriate that he is described as the true shepherd of his people. If we think of God and his relation with his people, the covenant in which he has entered into friendship with his people, how that he promises to protect, to guide, to provide for, to defend his people. And what do we find characteristic here about Jesus as the one who is the shepherd, the one who claims that he is the true and the good shepherd, as opposed to the hireling, the false shepherds? Well, there are four things I'd like to mention briefly about Jesus as a shepherd that emerges from our passage here in John chapter 10. The first is that Jesus as a shepherd says that he lays down his life for his sheep. And this is a theme that is repeated, I believe, at least four times in this passage here in John chapter 10. The shepherd was to protect the sheep. He was to keep the sheep from danger. He was to put his life between the sheep and between any danger that would threaten them. As we were reminded in our saying last week, "I am the door," as we considered the I am statement last week, we saw that the sheep were placed in a pen or in an enclosure, and the shepherd himself was that door, that he was the one who would put himself between the sheep and any potential danger that would be out there. Well, Jesus here says that he lays down his life for his sheep. In verse 11, we see it again here in our passage in verse 15. And in verses 12 to 13, he makes it clear that he's not like the hired hand, the false shepherds who are out for themselves, that when danger approaches, they flee. They don't care for the sheep. They don't protect the sheep from danger. Instead, he is the shepherd who demonstrates that he cares for the sheep, that he protects the sheep, and that he lays down his life for his sheep. And in verse 17 and 18, "For this reason," Jesus says, "the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Here, in this language of Jesus speaking of laying down his life for his sheep, is Jesus' way of describing what is soon to come through his work on the cross. Through Christ's work on the cross, he battles the enemies of his people. He deals with sin, with death, with our adversary, the devil. It was a blow to the devil's head. The seed of the serpent is crushed. And one day will finally, eternally be crushed. But we see in the cross how that Jesus defends his people from their enemy, from dangers. And he makes it very clear that he is not forced to do this. This is something he willingly does. Though there is the passage where he goes to the Father praying that this cup, referring to his coming death, that it might pass him. But he submits himself willingly out of love for the sheep and obedience and love for his eternal Father. As we think about Jesus as the Good Shepherd, we need to think of him being a shepherd as it relates to his work on the cross. Such is the greatness of his love for his sheep. He is truly the Good Shepherd who cares for and protects his flock from their greatest enemies, their most severest of problems. And by implication, it is implied that if he takes care of us with our greatest needs, our spiritual needs, our sin that has led to a separation from God and a lack of fellowship, then certainly he will deal with our lesser problems and lesser enemies that perhaps are nonetheless real. So Jesus reminds us that he is the true shepherd, the good shepherd, because he lays his life down for his flock. But secondly, he describes himself as a shepherd who knows his sheep. He says in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." And here is captured a picture of relationship, of intimacy, of union, of communion with God. The very purposes for which we have been made, that we might know God, that we might delight in him and enjoy him. And the very heart of the message of the gospel of salvation and eternal life itself is wrapped up with this idea of relationship and fellowship with God. Later in John's gospel, Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they," referring to his children, his sheep who believe, "that they may know you, the Father." And so it is a marvelous thing that we are known by our good shepherd. Before I knew the shepherd, before I had faith in Jesus, the idea that God knew everything about me was something that terrified me. It was a horrifying thought. But now that I have come to know Christ and know him as my good shepherd, it is a marvelous and a welcoming thing that he knows all that's to be known about me. He knows and understands myself even better than I do. How marvelous is his redeeming love that he knows his sheep. He knows their needs. He knows their problems and their fears and challenges. And he knows their joys. And he is a faithful shepherd to them, providing for their particular needs of who they are. He is the one who knows his sheep and are acquainted with them. The scripture says he knows what is in a man. And what a great comfort it is that we have such a good and a marvelous shepherd who truly knows us and understands us unlike any other person. He has been tempted like us in all ways. Well, he is the one who's laid down his life for his sheep. He's the one who knows his sheep. He is the one, thirdly, who feeds his sheep. He is the one who has given him his good words, who has led his sheep to the green pastures of the Scriptures, who leads his sheep to the eternal pastures of fellowship and joyful worship with God for all eternity. When people were leaving Jesus, he turned to his disciples and he said, "Will you leave as well?" And one spoke up and said, "You know, Lord, where else would we go? For you have the words of life." And that is so true of our shepherd, that he is the one who has the very words of life. He is the one who is promised by the prophet Ezekiel, "I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. He shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd." And that is exactly what our Savior has done and continues to do. He feeds and he cares for his sheep. He brings us his good word of truth and of power and of mercy and of grace. He is the Lamb in the midst of the throne, as described in Revelation 7. He will be their shepherd. He will guide them to the springs of living water. He will wipe every tear away from their eyes. That is who our shepherd is. He's the one who leads us to the springs of living water. He feeds us and nourishes us on his through himself and through his word. Fourthly, he gathers his sheep. He says, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also," here in verse 16 of our passage, "and they will listen to my voice." So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd who seeks that which is lost. At times he leaves the 99 to find the one. He went first to the lost sheep of Israel. It's the focus of his mission. But then he points here to the Gentile mission of all who call upon the name of the Lord being saved. The sheep. He's been given sheep from every tribe and every nation. His fold is a fold that's expanding. We find in the Scriptures that he is the one who is building and expanding his flock. Well, this gives us a little bit of a picture, a portrait of Jesus as our shepherd. But we would be remiss in this passage if we left this passage without at least briefly considering what are the implications for his sheep in this passage. And there are, I find that there are two that stand out. We find, first of all, in this passage that Jesus, that the sheep hear the voice of their shepherd. Going back to sheep in Jesus' day, it was not uncommon that in a sheep enclosure at night, that there might be multiple flocks, many shepherds and many different sheep. But among the various shepherds and sheep, each sheep knew the distinctive voice of their shepherd, that unique sound. The sheep learn the voice of their shepherd. And perhaps there are people, actors, let's say, that if we played their voice over the PA system this day, 90-something percent of us in this room would know exactly who is speaking. Perhaps even our own domestic dogs know the voice of their owners and those in the family in which they reside. And they sometimes they heed and listen to that voice. Sometimes they don't. But the sheep hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Jesus says in verse 27, which is beyond our passage, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. The sheep of Jesus are able to distinguish the various shepherds, the hired hands who are not true shepherds. There are many voices out there. Jesus is a shepherd who still speaks, and he speaks through his word, through the Holy Scriptures, his word of truth. And so we're reminded as we who are sheep, that we are to feed upon the shepherd's word, that we were to treasure it, that we're to lay it up in our hearts and in our minds. A second implication that comes to me from this passage about sheep and we who are sheep is that the sheep are described as following the shepherd. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Sheep are imperfect at following. Many people have brought this out. I don't have time to explain it, but I think the prophet Isaiah captures this when he says, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him, that's the one who would become the good shepherd, the Messiah, Jesus, the iniquity of us all, of all of his sheep. And perhaps this is what the passage Peter, the Apostle Peter, was thinking about, along perhaps with his own struggles as being a sheep and following his shepherd and his master, when he writes in his book of 1 Peter, he says, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Perhaps this day you may identify yourself as one who is a sheep, but a sheep who is straying. Perhaps you've strayed far from the shepherd. Perhaps you are a sheep who is worn and weary, who is sick and tired and in need of the shepherd's care. Wherever we find ourselves as sheep this day, this passage calls us to return to the shepherd, the one who is our good shepherd, our overseer, the one who is the only true and good shepherd. You are sheep. Do you know your shepherd? Do you hear his voice and by his grace follow? Let's give thanks to God. Our gracious God, we praise you that you are the shepherd of your people, that you have entered into relationship with your people, that you have given your own beloved Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, that he is the shepherd who has laid down his life, that we, your people, might be forgiven our sins, that we might know you, that we might hear your voice and walk with you and follow after you. We know that we need you, that we are sheep that are in much need of our shepherd. So we pray that this day that you might help us, that we might look to our shepherd and our overseer, that we might even return to him and find refreshment in life. We give you praise and thanks. In Christ, our good shepherd's name, we pray. Amen.